Today, as you have heard our scripture that has been read, but out of those 10 verses, I'm only going to lift up that seventh through tenth verse. And if I'd just like to read it again in your hearing, it says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If I was to tag this time before you, this sermon, with a title, it would be Surrendering All to God. Just as I always do, I'd just like to give you just a background for where these scriptures come from before we even go there. I had a different sermon for this morning. But last night, late yesterday afternoon, when I got home to tweak the sermon that I thought I would be preaching today, the Lord said something different. And as I sat there and listen to what God had to say, I knew that I was on assignment, that somebody here today. And so I asked the rest of the church, if this is not for you, just be patient. Somebody need to hear from God today. Somebody is in a desperate situation and they cannot figure out how they're going to get out of it. But the Lord sent me on assignment today to encourage them and to remind them who he is. These scripture verses that we have heard was written by James, the Apostle James, to provide us with a certain theological teachings about the Christian life, with special emphasis on patiently enduring tribulations, steadfastly seeking God's wisdom, to consistently put faith into action by doing what is right and abstaining from what is wrong, and persistently praying for oneself and others. His message is practical, is dealing with everyday issues of daily living, teaches us that we should control our tongues, that we should pay attention to our relationship with others and helping those who are in need. James teaches us that religion and morality and evangelism and ethics and doctrine and righteousness, belief and behavior, faith and works together in a Christian life. This letter was written to speak to those who are learning to live the life of a Christian in the midst of a pagan life, of a world that is filled with things that are not of God. It is a fine line between what is of this world and what is of Christ. Why? Because we are allowing the world to say what is right and forgetting that God has already told us what is right and what is wrong. Trying to live in two worlds will lead us astray. About the time that James was writing this book, there was a great deal of turmoil that was going on in Israel and the Near East. The Jewish people had grown tired of the occupation of the Romans in their nation. They were fed up with the Gentiles controlling their lives, so much like today. So insurrection and small bodies of bloody battles began to pop up all over the area. We know that we got the people at Wall Street, we got people in England, we got people sprouting up all over this nation, protesting because they're tired of the oppression. The Jews justified their actions by claiming that their motivation for what they were doing was to bring honor to God and to free his hand from these ungodly people. And if there were other Jews who didn't agree with their practices, well, they became the enemy. And they stood as if they stood in the way, they too would die. But that's okay. The action were justified. After all, if the Romans didn't want to die, they shouldn't have come and invade us in the first place. It's their fault. I have just cause for doing what I'm doing. James continued in this writing, in this passage specifically, to counter that kind of thinking. He says that the war that they are entering in was of no fault of their own. They were fighting because they wanted something, not because God had told them to. They wanted their land back. They wanted control. They wanted self-respect. They were allowing an internal battle, the war that raged within them, to become an external battle. You see, fighting on the outside is always a reflection of fighting that is going on in the heart. When we look for the cause behind the war that happens on earth, and the war that is happening in the churches, and the wars that are happening in our family, it's easy to lay the blame on external reasons. But the real cause is the conditions of our own heart and the desire that it possesses. I want something, and I'm going to do whatever it gets to get it. My desire for something becomes more important to me than my peace. Paul spoke of this kind of internal struggle again in Galatians 5:17. For he says, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that pleases God. Each of us have a war that's raging inside of us. That war is caused by the desire that we have, the way that we choose to fulfill those desires, and the level of control that we allow them to have in our lives determine whether or not that war is on the inside is going to lead to a war on the outside. One of the reasons we can't control the war raging on the inside is because we refuse to surrender to God. In our refusal to surrender and submit, which is really mean the same, that we forget about the plan that God has for us. We fight with ourselves and with everyone around us because we think we know what the path is. When we surrender, we yield to the power that possesses our lives and that God. And when we surrender, we give up control to the one who is in control. Who is that? That's God. When we surrender, we humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God that cannot and will not make a mistake. On Calvary, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ surrendered all. He came through 32 and two generations for the express purpose of surrender. Even though he knew that not one of us was worthy, he came to surrender his life that we might obtain mercy and have everlasting life with the Father. I came today to pose a question to us. Can we surrender all to God? Can we surrender all to God? When we surrender all, we are required to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. We give up our will to have power over our lives. Unlike governmental authorities and agencies, God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't force us to surrender or relinquish the power that we have or think that we have over ourselves, even when we're doing wrong. The power we think we have is only temporary, and it is the equivalent of a gust of wind, while the power of God is forever. And in comparison, it's like a tornado or a hurricane. Surrendering our so-called power to God, the Holy Spirit, is the true act of power. Because when we give up our menial and insignificant power to receive the power of God, the Holy Spirit, it is awesome to come to realize that giving up, we stand to gain more than we could imagine. Financial advisors promise us that if they take a few of our dollars and invest them in stocks and bonds, that they would yield a return that's substantially greater than our initial investment. And with the right investment, we stand to gain even more, providing everything goes all right. Just ask some of Bernie Madoff's clients about how important it is to know who you invest in with. With Jesus, there is no risk involved. God promises to provide all of our needs. With Jesus, there's no risk involved, for God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. In Psalms 9:1-10, it says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples, he said to them, when I leave, another will come and will lead you into all truth. Let us come to that place in our lives where we are able to yield our so-called power, our will, to God, the Holy Spirit. Be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Some of us might say today, why should I yield? Why should I surrender to the Holy Spirit? What's in it for me? Well, there's peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, there's joy unthinkable. You see, there's blessings beyond your greatest imagination. I get excited just hearing the word of God, especially found in Ephesians 3:20, when it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we might ask or think. That's good news today. I know that if I surrender to God, that he can and he will do exceedingly and abundantly more for me than I can ask and think for. I can even think of the goodness that God will do for each and every one of you. Some of us may say, hey, I'm good. I have what I want and what I need. But life is ever changing. You better know it. Life is ever changing. Ask some people yesterday where they are today and know that life is ever changing. The peace I'm talking about is the peace that stays with us in the middle of a storm. It's peace that stays with us even when everything else is going wrong. Maybe you haven't been in one of those storms that come into your life and tear everything down around you. Maybe you've never seen the work of Satan who comes to try to destroy our homes, destroy our health, destroy our families, and rob us of our peace. Maybe you haven't had that time in your life when things got so bad that you felt like giving up, thinking that you just couldn't go on. But when you have a surrendered life, it may feel like you're at the end of your rope. You feel like you're just hanging on, not even hanging in there, hanging by a thread. The Lord of glory will come in and rescue you. It may look like you're drowning. Somebody feel like they're drowning in here today. Somebody think they might be drowning today. They don't know how they're going to make it tomorrow. But the peace of God will come in and throw you a lifeline, or pull you up, will stand you up, dry you off, and wipe your tears away. You see, you gotta surrender all to God. Some trust in horses, and some trust in chariots. But I tell you today that if you trust in the living God and surrender unto him, he'll work everything out, whatever you feel like you're going through today. He promised that he would not leave you. He promised that he wouldn't forsake you, that he would pick you up and turn your life around. He would plant your feet on solid ground. We will be able to say that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Though a host shall encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up again against me, this is God, I will be confident. The Lord is saying, I am the Lord, your God, and there's none beside me. Maybe someone is saying to themselves, how am I going to make these ends meet? And God is saying, remember my word. Why worry about how you're going to make it? Can't you see the birds in the air? They're not worried about what they're going to eat. What about the lilies of the field? They're not worried about what they're going to wear. Those who surrendered are not worried about how they're going to make it, nor how they're going to make ends meet, because they know that I am that I am. I am the true and living God. I am whatever you need me to be. I can make everything all right. I can satisfy every need. I can open up some doors today. I can open up some windows today. I don't care what you're going through. God said I'm able to make it work. Maybe you've been happy all of your life, had people all around you who loved and cared about you. Maybe you don't know about those midnight hours when you realize that no one is there but you. And the thought come to your mind, what if I die tonight? Nobody will even know about it. Or maybe you never seen a holiday when you were all alone and family and friends didn't show you any love and included you. Or maybe, just maybe, you never been a third wheel on a two-wheel bicycle. Maybe you haven't been through anything. But God knows about every situation. And we surrender ourselves to God. He'll make a road in the middle of the desert just for you. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what others might do. God will come and see about you. And he'll bring you through. He'll rock you in the cradle of his arms. He'll assure you that you are never alone. He will help you to understand this situation, that this is only for a season. Yes, some seasons are longer than others, but just hold on to God's unchanging hand, trusting and believing that everything is going to be all right. Let me remind you that the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Now remember this too, when you have a surrendered life, you may have trouble on every side. Yes, you might be out there someplace, yet not distressed. You may be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and he shall bring you through. Wait, I say, on the Lord, he shall be your strength. He shall be your stronghold. He shall work your situation out. Surrender to the Lord, and he'll give you the power to stand through it all. The Apostle James says to us today in this scripture, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart and your double-mindedness. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. That sounds like a hard word. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Yes, it sounds like a harsh word of condemnation. Guess what it is if you have chosen. It is that if you've chosen this world over God. The word says grieve and mourn and wail if you think you can live in two worlds. But the sooner or later, Satan is going to have his way in your life. And then he goes on to say, stop trying to be so proud. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up out of whatever your situation and your circumstance may be. As I come to remember that our Savior Jesus Christ came from heaven and wrapped himself in flesh, submitted himself to sinful men in obedience to his Father, that the fulfillment of our redemption would be provided through his death, his burial, and resurrection. Jesus wants to rescue. He wants to resurrect somebody today. Somebody is almost dead in here. You might be living, walking around, but you're the living dead. Your body is alive, but your spirit is dead. You have no hope. You have no joy. You have no happiness. You're just messed up. You're messed up because you don't trust God. You're messed up because you won't surrender. You think you got it together, but God is saying, no, you don't. Tomorrow the bottom could fall out. You better learn how to trust God. You better stop walking on this side of the road and then switching to the other side. You better walk the narrow path where Jesus said we should walk. He promised that he would take care of us. He promised us he would never forsake us. Somebody is broken. But what's good about our God? So good about our God that even when you're broken, he can pick you up. He can dust you off. He can turn your life around. Somebody in here today struggling. So, Lord, I've been out of work for a long time. I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. Help me, Holy Ghost. The Lord has said, don't you dare believe that it's over. For the best is yet to come. for those who have made up your mind that I'm coming out of these worldly places and I'm giving my life to Christ. And I'm surrendering to the Lord. I've tried everything and I've tried everybody. But this day I'm stepping out on faith. Somebody need to hear this today. You don't have to tell me. Because see, God already knows because he sent me. You don't have to share it with your neighbor sitting next to you. That I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I can be in a room full of people and so lonely. I can go to sleep at night and still don't rest. I'm shaking on every side. It feels like the ground is just going to open up in front of me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody. Heart has been broken so deeply and so badly that you don't even think it's possible to mend it. But I'm telling you, we serve a God that can take a broken heart and put it back together and make it brand new. Forget about yesterday. Focus on today and give your life to the Lord. And even if you've already given your life to God, sometimes, we can think we're walking with the Lord. You said, oh, I get up, I say grace over my food. Oh, I say my prayers before I go to bed at night. But that's not walking with the Lord. There's a different relationship when you're walking with the Lord. You see, everything inside of you is consumed by God. You can find joy in Christ in everything that you do. You don't have to be in the club. You don't have to be in the night spot. You don't have to creep at the hotel. You don't have to slip and slide over here and there. You can find joy in Christ. Oh, he's cute, but he's not yours. Leave him alone. He belongs to somebody else. Until you get it right, you're going to walk this rough road. Until you surrender, God says, I see you, and I'm going to hold on to you, but I'm not going to release you. I don't know who it is. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I'm just doing what God says. No, this is not an easy word. And no, I'm not feeling no pleasure preaching it. But I am feeling pleasure in doing what thus saith the Lord. Somebody need deliverance today. Pretending that everything is well. Getting knocked up beside your head every other day. Put a little lipstick and a little makeup over here. Oh, I walked into the door. No, you didn't. Surrender. Are you able to surrender today? Can you give it all to God? Can you say, Lord, I've done all that I know to do. I tried to do it my way. Yeah, Frank Sinatra sung that song and everybody thought it was so great. But you see, that's a worldly song. Do it your way. You got to do it God's way, not your way. The only place you can go and have it your way is at Burger King. Go through the drive-thru line and say, I'm going to have it my way. But when it comes to the things of life, when you're looking for peace, when you're looking for joy, when you're looking for happiness, you got to come through God. Yeah, you might find some tickle your fancy a little bit over here and a little bit over there. And you, oh, I'm having such a good time. You're lying. Because deep inside of your heart, you're saying, when is this going to end? You're wondering, how temporary is it? But you see, we don't serve a temporary God. We serve a forever God. I'm not promising you that every day going to be sunshine and roses. Because the word does not say that. But what it does say is that even though you have trials and tribulations, I promise never will leave you nor forsake you. And you will come out on the other side. In my Bible study class, we are studying, our book is called Healing Without Scars. And one of the stories in that book was about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These were three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel who was taken into captivity. And King Nebuchadnezzar had some rules that they had to follow. But they were following the true and living God. You see, you can be in the midst of some mess, but God will keep you in the middle of it. And the king said that they had to do what he said to do. They had to eat his diet. And they said, no, just give us a little time to eat what we want to eat, what we would normally eat, and see if there's any difference. But the story that I'm trying to get to here was that when they had done what the people of the pagan people, Nebuchadnezzar and his people, thought was wrong, Nebuchadnezzar says, I have to throw them into the fiery furnace. You see, you might get thrown into the furnace for a little while. The heat might get raised up a little bit in your life. But just like these three Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace, they didn't go into the furnace alone. In fact, they raised up the temperature even more. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he didn't see just three Hebrew boys. He saw three Hebrew boys and another man walking with them. And the other person was Jesus. You see, he'll walk with you right through the fire. He'll cause the heat to rise up all around you. But when you start walking, he's walking with you. No matter what you're going through. Walking in that furnace, and it seems like the heat is all raised up all around you. You're not sure how you're going to make it through. But God has said not a hair on your head will be singed, and not any smoke will be in your clothes. Because when I'm finished, I'm going to bring you out. It looked like you're going to burn. It looked like you're going to drown. It looked like you're not going to make it. But God says, not so. I'm here with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to tell you all about what you need to know today. Somebody is in the fire today and they're not sure how I'm going to get out. But God sent me to tell you today, if you would just surrender, if you would just get down on your knees and give God the praise, lift up your hands and say, God, I surrender to you today. Whatever you would have me to do, God, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, God, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. And I promise you, God will bring you out. I know it's so. I know it's so. I know it's so because he's brought me out. He brought the three Hebrew boys out when they came out of the fiery furnace. Not one hair on their head was singed. Even their clothes did not smell of smoke. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in and saw that fourth person standing in that furnace walking around, he was like, who is that? And when he realized that it was the only one and true God, he said, bring them out right now. You see, your enemy gonna tell you, they gonna open up the door and let you out. Your enemy think he got you closed in right now. But God is saying, not so. I'm going to bring you out. In fact, I'm going to let you, I'm going to use your enemy to bring you out today. You there oppressing you, but God is saying, not so. I'm in control. When they came out, Nebuchadnezzar, he bent down on his knees and he said, I got to worship this God because this is the only true God. You see, you'll turn somebody else's life around. You'll turn even your enemies to the living God. But you have to believe and you have to surrender. I don't know about you, but I know that there's nothing like a surrendered life in Christ. I don't know who it is, but I want you to leave here today knowing that God is able. That all you have to do is surrender. Stop dipping and dabbing. Stop slipping and sliding and go on and give your life to Christ fully. You can't be over here and be over there. You got to be with the Lord, and the Lord will bring you through.